You ever watch the TV documentary series on the History Channel called Quest for the Lost Ark? Had a guy traveling to different locations around the world following the various theories and beliefs about the current location of the Ark of the Covenant. And it's all anticlimactic when you think about it, because if he actually did find the Ark of the Covenant, it would have been a lot more than just a mini-series done about it. But the show is quite educational about the Ark, nevertheless. First reference to the Ark of the Covenant, which is also referred to in some Bible translations as the Ark of the Testimony, is found in Exodus chapter 25, verse 10, with God commanding, "And they shall make an ark of acacia wood, 2.5 cubits shall be its length, 1.5 cubits in its width, and 1.5 cubits in its height." Then in Exodus chapter 25, verse 16, God says, "And you shall put into the ark the testimony which I will give you." Along with the Ten Commandments, the ark held a jar of manna. Now, why was this required by God? Because it was manna from heaven which kept the Israelites alive during their 40-year trek in the wilderness. But manna wasn't simply food. As we read in Exodus chapter 16, verse 4, "Then the Lord said to Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not." That was God teaching the Jewish people to rely on him for their daily needs. So now you understand the part of the Lord's Prayer when we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." The Ark of the Covenant also contained the rod of Aaron, who was the brother of Moses. The reason for this inclusion is explained in the 17th chapter of Numbers. God tells Moses to collect a rod from each of the 12 leaders and bring those rods into the tabernacle of witness. Next day it was Aaron's rod that had sprouted buds and fresh almonds. God says this to Moses in Numbers chapter 17, verse 10. "And the Lord said to Moses, Bring Aaron's rod back before the testimony to be kept as a sign against the rebels, that you may put their complaints away from me, lest they die." The final mention of the physical Ark of the Covenant, that's found in 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verses 17 and 18. "Therefore he brought against them the king of the Chaldeans, who killed the young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion on young man or virgin, on the aged or the weak. He gave them all into his hand, and all the articles from the house of God, great and small, the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king and of his leaders, all these he took to Babylon." The centuries-long search for the Ark of the Covenant has been driven by, of course, the desire to see those two physical stone tablets which hold the Ten Commandments carved into the tablets by God's finger. Now, it would certainly be a monumental find for the sake of religion, history, archaeology. My question for you today is whether that search should be a priority for Christians. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 8, verses 8 through 13. "Because finding fault with them," he says, meaning God, "behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant, and I disregarded them, says the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. None of them shall teach his neighbor, and none his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more." In that, he says, a new covenant he has made, the first obsolete. Now what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. Doesn't that sound like God revealing that the covenant brought about through the law, Ten Commandments, is being replaced by the covenant that comes through Jesus Christ? Yet those words of God do not say that the law is obsolete. In fact, all through the New Testament, the value and importance of the law is reaffirmed by Jesus Christ, who reveals this in Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 through 20. "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Whoever, therefore, breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so, shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. The law is designed to give us guidance with how to conduct ourselves as God's children. It's Jesus who blesses us with the path to spiritual cleanliness. Here's how Paul explains this in Galatians chapter 2, verse 21. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Law on its own, as we see throughout the Bible, leaves the door open to things like rebellion for way too many who choose to walk through that wide door. It's Jesus who lifts us up and keeps us walking as God wants us to through the narrow door. Here's what we're told in Romans chapter 8, verse 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. Now, if you believe that the new covenant puts away the law and the Ten Commandments, then you're taking issue with Jesus. Good luck with that. Who, not only in Matthew, but also in Luke chapter 16, verse 17, says once again, it is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one tittle of the law to fail. One more moment focusing on those physical stone tablets, which have the Ten Commandments carved into them by God. If you say that you're a child of God, how can you make your faith require the physical presence of those tablets? How have you opened the Bible that you possess and not see the words of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7? For we walk by faith, not by sight.